This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
All that Jesus is risen stuff, that's all last week, and so Jesus is no longer risen today. No, I'm just kidding you. Of course, he remains risen. One of the teachings that Jesus gave after he was resurrected, in fact, the only thing that we know that Jesus taught about in Acts chapter 1 is the kingdom of God. He appeared to his disciples and taught for 40 days, showing convincing proofs, and taught on the kingdom of God. And so I felt like today we should talk a little bit about the kingdom of God, since it's the one important thing that the resurrected Christ taught about, well, that and the Holy Spirit, taught about that the kingdom of God and the way that flows in. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. This chapter concludes with this synopsis of what Jesus' ministry is all about. And we see it in chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all those who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. And large crowds from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and the region across the Jordan followed him. So this is a sort of synopsizing what's happening in Jesus' ministry. And we begin Jesus' ministry with John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist was raised up, and Matthew tells us that he began with this message: go and preach the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And so then Jesus comes on the scene, and the irony is that Jesus' message is verbatim the exact message of John the Baptist. The kingdom of God is at hand. I think it's Luke chapter 10 where Jesus sends his disciples out to do ministry, and they're supposed to do signs and wonders, lay hands on the sick, just as it's recounted here that Jesus did. And it's supposed to heal the sick, and they're supposed to do those things, and they're supposed to tell them, Jesus commanded them to tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. Sometimes we preachers talk to you about how you can find peace in your life. We've personalized salvation to the extent that it becomes all about us. Like, if you're feeling guilty because of your sin, you can come and find forgiveness. If you're carrying a load or you're trying to avoid hell, then you can come and find relief from that at the cross. And if you are overburdened, or if you have a need that is impossible for you to meet, you can come and bring that to Jesus. And all that is true. That personalized stuff is true. Thank God for that we have that, and we celebrated that the last couple of weeks as we were talking about the cross and what Jesus did on the cross. But to say that that's what Jesus' ministry was about is just not absolutely accurate. That's half the gospel. You see, Jesus is about bringing the kingdom of God into play into this earth. It's as though linear time is running this way, and Jesus has chosen to insert the kingdom of God at some point all along. In fact, we see every time the disciples go out and the apostles go out and they do these works that the kingdom of God explodes in these different things. And that's the different ministries. And that's the way God wants to work in our lives as well, with the kingdom of God ministering the kingdom of God to the people around us. It's more than me praying for someone who is sick because they're in pain. Do you understand that? Jesus, it says, healed the sick and cast out demons and healed the paralyzed and did all these wonderful things because those were signs that accompanied his teaching of the kingdom of God. Those signs, those miracles that were happening, that were breaking into the linear time of our life, those miracles were there to point to the one who was bringing that and to listen to his message. They were verifying the message that Jesus was bringing, which is that the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. the kingdom of God is nearby, very close, so that we could reach out and touch the kingdom of God. I love that last song we sang, I Will Pursue You, because it both says that the kingdom of God is imminent, and also it says that it takes a little effort on my part to press through the crowd, reach in, touch the hem of his garment, and let his virtue flow through my life and change me forever. And so when I'm looking at this, when I'm seeing what God wants to do in the lives of his children, I see that God wants to break in with the kingdom of God. We have to understand it's not just because I'm God's special child. It's not just because God loves me. Yet, though he does, though you are his special child, God does love you. But that's not the reason why God does things. He wants to demonstrate his power through you to the world around you. God wants to show his love on your life for the world around you. God wants to use you as a billboard for his grace and his mercy and his love. And I say that to you today because we have so personalized salvation. Now we are in a time when everything is uncertainty. We have that nut over North Korea who is aiming missiles at U.S. territory, and probably doesn't bother you because you don't live in Guam. But if you lived in Guam, you would be very upset this morning that somebody's pointing a missile right at you, right? And so God has put us in a time where we have no security in our world. We live in a society where they're trying to do everything they can to bring the values of the kingdom to bear. You know, it says in Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit, against such things there is no law. In fact, the human heart, even though it's backslidden or far from God, or the human heart still longs for the things of the Spirit. Peace, love, real joy. Human heart longs for those things. And even in the world around us, and so we live in a world where it's a crazy world. This week I heard that people who've been arrested that were halfway through their transgender operation. In other words, men that were in prison, but who they were halfway through the operation. It's not like it's too graphic here, but they're halfway through the operation. You know, very uncomfortable, I suppose, living in a male prison when you're half a woman. So, or half the man you used to be. So the government has decided, because the government never wants anybody to feel too uncomfortable, that they are going to spend $70,000 on each of these people to finish the operation and then move them into a women's prison. Wait a minute. But we don't have money to do a tour through the White House. Or Easter egg hunts, right. We can't do that. Yeah, we can't do any of that stuff. So we live in a world, if you want to set yourself up for disappointment, then every day wake up and hope that things are going to get better and then turn on the news. You will be disappointed every stinking day for the rest of your life. Because this world is going to get worse and worse and worse. You say, well, maybe it's just this administration. Mm-mm. You know, it's been long enough you forgot the last administration. You don't understand. You see, this world cannot make it better. You say, are you talking politics? I'm talking reality that we live. The reality that we live, we try to make things better. We try to bring peace on earth. We try to beat our swords into plowshares, right, without having an allegiance to the Prince of Peace. There will never be any peace until we make allegiance with the Prince of Peace. We're trying to bring the millennial kingdom without an allegiance to the King of the Millennium. And that's the problem, you see. Jesus is showing us the very simple truth that you have to have connection to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what's going to change people's lives here on earth. You see, the kingdom of God is a kingdom that's in the middle of the world that we live in. In the world that we live in, there may be chaos, but we can still have peace because the peace that comes in the kingdom is for us. You see, what is a kingdom? A kingdom, the kingdom of God is the place where Jesus reigns. It's wherever Jesus reigns. So Jesus can reign in your heart at your job. Jesus can reign in your car on the side of the road. Jesus can reign in your home. Or if your home is divided and someone there doesn't serve Jesus, Jesus can can reign just in your bedroom. Jesus can be there where you are because Jesus wants to let his kingdom come. He wants that kingdom to explode. Remember the prayer that Jesus told his disciples they should pray every single day? Thy kingdom come. We don't often think about those things. When we pray those prayers, we don't often think what does that mean, that his kingdom would come? See, in order for us to really grasp a hold of what the kingdom is, we have to recognize that it presents to us the demand to bring an allegiance from our heart to the new king. The word evangel means a person who carries the message of good news, the person who brings good news. The way that was interpreted in the Old Testament was whenever a new king was born, let's say the old king and his wife were seeking to have children, and suddenly they had children, and then this was before Facebook, and this was before the computer, and nobody could email anything. So how did they get that news out through all the little nooks and crannies of the kingdoms? They would send some guy out, some runner out, and he would run from town to town saying that this town, Berwyn, Illinois, has to have allegiance to this new king who was born. His name is King whatever, fluff and stuff. And then you have to have allegiance to him because he's been born, and because he's the progeny of the king, therefore you have to bow and be obedient to him. One of the problems we have in North Korea now is that we have a new leader in South Korea. And so whenever a new king rises up, then sometimes other forces want to test that new leadership that's there. And so some people think this whole thing with North Korea is really about him testing the border with South Korea. It could be that. All I know is this, is sometimes when a new king comes in, our rebellion rises up again and we try to rebel against that king. So they would send out this runner, and his job was to tell everybody that they had to be obedient to the king. A new king is born, you're going to have to have allegiance to this new king. That was his job. That's what he did. His message was for those in the kingdom that they would have to bow to this new king. Even though he was simply an infant, they would have to bow to this new king. Now, so recognizing this then, that's what the kingdom is about. Jesus is coming to proclaim this new kingdom, and in order for you to be in the kingdom, you have to have a relationship, the right relationship, with the king of the kingdom. There's no other way to get in the kingdom. There's no back doors. You can't be in there. You're not brought in by osmosis just because your family was a part of the kingdom. Doesn't mean you're part of the kingdom. You can only get into the kingdom by a relationship you have with the king. And so everything was about the connection, the allegiance, the total dedication to following after the king. So if you're following the king, you're looking to see what he will do. This kingdom that Jesus is bringing eternal value. It's a divine kingdom. It's a kingdom that has no end. Its dominion is an everlasting dominion. It has no end. And so the kingdom comes with these eternal values. And these eternal values and the character of the kingdom is this divinely inspired character. That love, that peace, that joy, all those things. In fact, the next few verses from chapter 4 here now launch into what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. That is a teaching where Jesus begins to unwrap what the kingdom is. And so he says, you might like the lifestyles of the rich and famous, but in the kingdom, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. You might want to get it all for yourself and gather as much as you can for yourself, but Jesus says, blessed are those who give. And so as we go through that, we see that Jesus is now changing our understanding. This is what Jesus, I wish he would do it differently. I wish that when I came down the altar and confessed my sin before the Lord and stood there at that altar, and some guy came over and laid his sweaty hand on my head and prayed with his bad breath over me, the Lord would forgive me of all my sins. I wish at that point Jesus would have transformed the entirety of my insides, and that I would have thought and lived and acted like Jesus from that moment forward. But I didn't. Jesus saved my spirit and soul, but there was a lifestyle that had been trained in the ways of the world. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you still thought in that way. And so your mind still thought that way. You still had the values of this earthly kingdom that we live in. So Jesus has to bring those values into your life. And so he has to find a way to do that. The way I've discovered that you can do that is you stay in the Word, where you're in constant contact with the king, and you stay in prayer, where you're in constant contact with the king, and proximity to the king is what changes your values. Things that used to turn me on now turn me off. Things that used to make me joyful now disgust me. And the things that used to disgust me now fill me with joy. And things I didn't understand, now I have a light on those things. And so the kingdom transforms you. Back in the day when I was putting windows in, we used to put these aluminum, remember those triple track aluminum windows, you know, storm windows? And we would have to climb from the outside because we never wanted to go in anybody's house. We have to climb up to the third floor. And so with a wooden step ladder, a lot of steps on the ladder. And we would climb up there with this big window on our shoulder, you know, and then a screw gun. And we would go all the way up there, and then we would take these little screws and put them on the end of the screw gun. If you ever have done this, then you understand it's a little precarious, and you put this window into the thing, you know, and put a little caulk around it and schmutz it right up there, and then zzz, and then you gotta kind of see if it's going to stay there, and then you got to dig out another screw. Well, we discovered that what you could do is you could take that tip and wrap it with copper wire and then touch it to one of the ends of your battery and touch the other end to the ground it out to the frame of your car and let the juice drain through that thing. And because that would that began to align the ions on the inside of that, and it would magnetize the tip. Which is, when you're three floors up and you drop the screw, you don't want to have to run down there and get the screw. So it's nice to have the tip magnetized, you know. This is before you could go spend money over at Ace and get yourself a magnetized tip. So we would use that, and so then you just do that. So you could take this piece of metal that had no magnetism, and you could make it into a magnet. The irony is that after a little while, the magnetism would wear off, and then you would have to have the juice run through it again, and as the juice ran through it, the ions. My first grade science teacher told me that what happens is that the ions on the inside, whatever an ion is, I don't know. That sounds like a Toyota to me, but they all begin to align up. In fact, if you just take a magnet on a piece of steel, and you just begin to rub on it, have you ever been in a restaurant? And you grab some of their silverware, which, by the way, isn't silver, it's steel. And as you grab it, then you recognize it's magnetized. How many of you ever found a magnetized knife? Not a single one of you? Man, you guys must, you all eat with plasticware, right? Well, occasionally you'll find that the knife will kind of stick to the spoon, which is, for me, that's all I need to entertain myself the rest of the time. But so the reason that is because there's electrical magnetic field that's running across that knife for so long that it turns all those ions from the way that normally would be, kind of chaotic, and turns them all so they're facing this way so that it has a north end and a south end. Polarizes that piece of metal. It magnetizes that. You could just take a magnet and just keep rubbing on the same piece of steel like this. You know, if you did that, if you had nothing else to do this afternoon, you could just do this, and then eventually that piece of metal would be a magnet. Because you would align all those ions on the inside. You say, well, Pastor, when did this turn into science class? Well, what I'm trying to say is that in the same way, when we are in the presence of the Lord, when we come into the kingdom, God then begins, by His Spirit, to move us in a specific way. By being around Him. And you find, without even wanting to, you find suddenly that there's these ions on the inside of you that just go, quack. And you begin to think more like Jesus. And the goal is that all those things begin to align in a specific way so that you have the same magnetism, the same qualities that Jesus has. So you're around giving people. And, you know, one of my great fantasies, can I share one of my fantasies with you today? It's a clean one. Can I share it? It's that I would, I've shared this with Steve before, that we would have this great benevolent company that made billions of dollars, or that somebody would give us billions of dollars. And we would put that money in the bank, and every year we would have to have a meeting where we would decide who we're going to bless with that money. You know, it'd be awesome, wouldn't it? To me, now when I was first became a Christian, I just came out of the world, and I felt as though, I guess my fantasy then would have been that I had a billion-dollar company that gave me billions of dollars. Billions. That I wanted it for me, you see. But now I realize that billions of dollars is likely to be billions of headaches. But nothing sounds more fun to me than to meet with somebody and hear what God is doing in their ministry and for me to go, I'll give you $100,000 and write out a check and give them $100,000. I mean, that totally stokes me. I would love to be able to bless missionaries. Oh, you're building something in Tanzania, a church or an orphanage. Yeah, well, we'll buy that. Wouldn't it just be fun if that was your... If that was what you did, I mean, you just had money to give away. It doesn't make a difference. It's not yours. Just money to just give away, just bless people. It would be so fun, huh? It would be it would be like Christmas shopping, right? With no bills in January. It would be like blessing people for the kingdom with money that you didn't work for. It would be so fun to do that. And now, listen, I'm certainly... further down the road towards heaven than I was when I got saved. But I'm by no means perfect. But you see, I wasn't a giver. But when I became a Christian, I started hanging around Jesus who gives. And then just being around him, the ions in my spirit began to magnetize and I began to be more like him. I carry the exact same magnetism in my spirit for him. In fact, if you take that magnetized piece of steel and you go rub that piece of steel on another piece of steel and just keep doing that, that piece of steel will be magnetized. It's amazing that could actually happen over and over and over again. That sounds like the gospel presentation, doesn't it? That you could have people fall in love with Jesus and then the discipleship process is just moving the ions in the right direction. God doesn't do it in the way that probably I would do it. If I was God and I had all power and all authority, I would just crush you who you are and just birth you again right there at the altar. In fact, if I knew about me what I know now about me when I got saved, if I was God, which I know that's already a confusing statement right there, then I would have killed me right at the altar. But there's a reason why God doesn't let us chop your head off when you respond to Jesus. He wants something to happen in your life. He wants you to be blessed. And the only way you can do that is if you become more and more like Jesus. So just by being in his presence. It's about the king. The kingdom is about the king. There has to be a connection to the ruler, the new ruler. New kingdom, new ruler, new rules. The ruler has rules. The rules are simple. They're contrary to what we think. He says to us that we're supposed to be reaching out to the world around us because we love them. That means our life has to be transformed by the love we received. I'm a little worried about the evangelical church in the U.S. I'm worried that we've become so personalized. We've so personalized the gospel that we've lost the corporate context of it. We've lost the fact that it's not about you being saved. I mean, we rejoice. Angels rejoiced the day you got saved. And, you know, they just, it's actually some of them went, oh, he can be saved? Anyway, but the angels, the ones that weren't totally shocked, that they were so happy the day that you gave your life to the Lord. And they're just rejoiced that you have surrendered your life to the Lord. They're rejoicing over that. But they also recognize that it's not just about you. Not just about me. It's about doing things for the kingdom of God. It's about partnering with things that are happening in the world. It's about understanding what God is doing in the world. And that means I have to change my understanding. The rules of the kingdom demand that I share my coat with someone who comes and asks. That I give to those who ask me. That if someone comes and says and demands that I carry their burden for a mile, that I carry it for 2 miles. See, that's hard for us to get a hold of. Our mind has a hard time because if we totally personalize salvation, then we say, what's in it for me? But if we're asking what's in it for me, then we haven't had the transformation that attaches to the salvation that we have asked God to bring into our life. Kingdom of God brings transformation wherever it goes. So when Jesus comes and begins his ministry, he comes with the same message that John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came and said the exact same words, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now the narrator in this passage of Scripture says that Jesus came preaching the gospel, and these signs were happening all over the place, and people were paying attention because the kingdom of God was showing up in that place. The kingdom. See, God doesn't want to do miracles for people just because they hurt. God doesn't want to do miracles just to make life easy for them. God wants to do miracles because we're a giant billboard for his kingdom. What would happen if every member of the church decided, I'm going to go full out for the kingdom? I mean, what would happen? See, the one thing we know is half measures will not avail. Partial obedience to Jesus just makes us religious. In fact, I'm inviting you today to not be a Christian. I'm inviting you to not be an evangelical. Don't be a Catholic, a Lutheran, a Methodist person, an Assembly of God person. Don't be those. Just be a kingdom person. Just be a kingdom person. So that what everything that's about you is about the kingdom. Let your life be so radically transformed. In other words, when God speaks something, don't gloss over it because it's uncomfortable. Don't be a hearer of the word only. Be a doer of the word. When God gives you something a word to adjust your life by, and we should be looking for life adjustments, right? I had somebody say, my life is just broken. And all I can think of is, you think God wants your life broken? God doesn't want your life broken. God wants to say, look, this guy was a stinking mess, but look, I cleaned him up. How did I do it? I lined up those ions with the values and the core values of the kingdom of God. I just kept rubbing onto him. I just kept letting my purpose, my spirit, my word flow around him. And so that he began to change. He began to change the way he thought. And now suddenly now his life is radically transformed. Here's how it is. See, if you would have known me 35, 40 years ago. 40, carry the one. 36 years ago. If you'd have known me 36 years ago, before I gave my life to Jesus, you would have said, this guy is never going to be a pastor. And God didn't even tell me anything about being a pastor because I would have just run the other direction so fast. But your life changes. The things that you think are, cool and awesome and all that, those things, they don't mean anything. After you walk with the Lord for a while, you just think, why do I need another stereo? The speakers for my stereo were so old. They were my wife's speakers when she was a teenager. Yeah, I mean, they were old. I won't. Really, really, really old. And I was listening to my stereo, and then one of the speakers finally went, because they only last so long. They're built in shelf life, so after about 30, 40 years, then they break down. And I was saying, I don't even, the only reason I want another speaker is because you got to have, it's a stereo. You got to have something coming out the other end. You don't want to just hear on one side and not hear what it's supposed to sound like. You want to hear, I'm into music a little bit, so I just want another speaker. Somebody gave me their old speakers. Gave them to me. Their old speakers. I have their old speakers now down there in the basement, and they're working great. It's awesome. Somebody said, hey, Pastor, you want to go out and spend, $500, $600 on some speakers? No, I don't. I'd rather give that money away to somebody. I'm being honest. I'd rather just bless somebody. I'd rather have fun with it in some other way. I just don't want more stuff. Because I'm 55 years old and I've realized that everything you have has to be dusted. Everything you have has to be dusted or washed or cleaned. And I'm like less is more or more is less. Yeah, the less the better. Thank you. The less I have, the better. I'm like getting rid of stuff. Hey, let's get that out of there. I have a whole corner of my basement. I just never go over there, but it's full of stuff. I just thought, if a thief would come in and just steal that stuff, I would be so happy. Because I would never know he was there. and that corner would be cleaned out of the basement. You know, we just, in our life, we just are locked into the way the world thinks. God wants to transform us by his kingdom. He wants us to change the way that we, and the only way we can do that is just have to be. You see, I see church as that curly wire that wrapped around the screwdriver tip, and that when the juice would flow through, I see that's what church is. Church is us putting ourselves into that place where the juice will run through us. Proximity to his word, proximity to his spirit, proximity to believers that love him and fellowship that's around. And that's running around and it's lining me up into things, that places this week where I was all messed up and I wasn't thinking like Jesus. Now I come in here. Come on, you have this experience, right? You come in and you're like, I can't even know why I'm here. Look at these people. All these people have perfect lives and I'm all messed up. By the third song, you're like, yeah, Jesus. Right? And you're just weeping before God, and God is doing something on the inside of you, and you had given up on you, but thank God, God never gave up on you. And his spirit is moving on the inside, and he's just lining those ions up. And so, you know, sometimes you get far enough away from the juice, the magnetism wears off. And you don't have that same magnetism. The way to do it is just get back and get close to the King. And when you get close to the King, you'll be more in tune with the kingdom values that are going on in our life. You see, God, when he brings his kingdom, he brings a new ruler, and he brings new rules, and he brings it by revelation. The revelation that he brings into our life is what changes us. Every day, God wants to reveal something new about himself to you. Sometimes when God reveals something new about himself to you, he's really revealing something old about you to yourself. Like when God says, I'm the God of truth, and I feel bad because I lied. God is showing something about me. God is showing something about me. He's saying, you see, here's where you and I differ, Dave. I'm the God of truth. And I need you to just speak the truth in love to people around you. And don't lie out of convenience. The check is in the mail kind of lie, you know. The one that nobody knows. Oh, yeah, I mailed that out weeks ago. Yeah. No one will know, but God knows. See, God doesn't change the outside of us. Most of you look pretty much the same as you did last week. You know, maybe a little bit heavier, all that ham you ate. But most of you look pretty much the same. But on the inside, we should be being transformed. Amen. In fact, Paul said it like this, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Day by glorious day, the internal aspects of our life are being renewed, transformed into the character of the kingdom. God wants to change us. What would happen if the church was so committed to the kingdom of God that they just began to think and eat and talk and sleep the kingdom everywhere they went? If they just saw things not as like, oh, they're a Baptist, and I'm. If we just saw life like the kingdom, if we just saw the needs, if we didn't see somebody, oh, he's a filthy sinner, rather we saw this one as somebody who was far from God. See, we live in a world that's broken. I'm sure you heard the news about Rick Warren's son killing himself. You should be praying for that family. But you see, the world we live in is so broken that it will affect anyone's life. We have to be close to the kingdom. Religion won't get you there. See, all the old kingdoms of this world are in conflict with the new kingdom that's coming in. If someone is the boss, let's say you're the foreman, you've just been given a raise, you're now the foreman on your crew, and you come in and the old foreman is there and he still thinks he's a foreman. You got a problem, right? You're going to have to just, you know, mud wrestle him down to the ground and pin him in order to prove that you're the new foreman. You're going to have to do something. So whenever the new kingdom comes in, old kingdoms, secular kingdoms, religion kingdoms, all these old kingdoms rise up against that kingdom. And it causes strife, and it causes warfare, and it causes battling. And people get lost. The enemy is not happy that the kingdom has come in. And yet Jesus proclaimed that this kingdom was something that we are supposed to be proclaiming everywhere we go. I know we're kind of cowardly evangelists. We don't say, well, there's a new king in a kingdom, and I want, you know, we don't preach this whole theological thing. Someone says they have a need, we just say, I'll pray for you, and we walk away. But I wonder if we just anticipated that the kingdom of heaven wanted to break in that moment. And we prayed in all earnestness. Not in a way that would fake it for somebody. Why do we do that? Why do Christians fake it? Why do Christians, why are they full of baloney sometimes, right? Why don't we just say what we really are? Why do we compound the problems in our life by living a lie in front of other people? Why do we do that? Well, it always gets uncomfortable, right? If I haven't made you uncomfortable, I haven't been doing my job. So the kingdom wants us to be radically committed to the king. In order to be radically committed to the king, I have to be willing to admit my faults, recognize my failures, change my ways. To me, it's the difference between the world and the kingdom. The world is unwilling. I'm fat because McDonald's made me fat. People are dying on the streets because guns are killing people. We blame anybody but ourselves. Why is that? It's not because we're stupid. It's not even because we're ideologues or we're stuck in some ideology. It's not that. It's because the human heart is desperately deceitful. And it does not, you know, when in a beehive, there's these things called small hive beetles. They're the enemy of the bee. They don't like light. It's kind of like sin. They're black, actually, little black little beetles like this. And you don't see them until you pull it all the top open real fast, and you'll see these little black beetles scurry. The bees hate them. The bees try to kill them. The bees chase after them and try to sting them, you know. I don't know how they chase after them because there's stingers on the back end of them. But if somehow they try to hunt them down to kill them because they know they threaten the hive. They will make all your honey nasty, make it smell like old feet. But they run. So if you open it up and you shine the light, they run and hide someplace. Why do we let sin do that in our life? We come into church, Holy Spirit starts moving in our life. We go, well, if I gave that up to the Lord, then I wouldn't be able to do this fun thing and that fun thing and the other fun thing. And so we just let our sin run and hide so that no one will see it. And that thing is there poisoning and stinking up our Christian life. And then later on we find ourselves saying, oh, why is my Christian life so messed up? It's because we're not yielding. Hearer only. Hearer only. Don't be hearers of the word only, because that's self-deception. That's what James says. That's deceiving yourself. There's only one thing worse than being tricked by the devil. It's being tricked by yourself. How many people will be standing in hell, knowing that they were the ones that deceived themselves? I don't know. You know why I don't know? Because I just want to be a part of the kingdom of God. Father, will you help us today to have our lives be so aligned with your kingdom that the ions of our spirit begin to move and begin to redirect and begin to come into alignment with the way you feel, Lord, so that the same magnetism that I have towards you, Lord, I might have towards another person, that I might be so radically transformed that people would be magnetically drawn to me, Lord, because of the power of Jesus working in me, that your kingdom would flow through me, that I would embrace the peace that comes through Jesus Christ, that my heart would be changed because you're a heart transforming God, and that your kingdom would completely radically reorient us, Lord. Holy Spirit, sink your hook in today. Set the hook in our spirit. Today, Lord, may we determine that we will not be satisfied until we are kingdom people. I pray this in your holy name, Lord. Make us an experiment that people will point at and say, look what happens when a man or a woman submits themselves entirely to God. Look at the transformation that can take place. Make us that experiment, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you were blessed by it. If there's a way we can help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to do that. You can contact us at www.berwinag.org. God bless you.